Welcome to an episode of The Silly with the Lilligans. We are live in Soulard at ITAP on Monday night. Not Friday night. Monday night.
Monday night.
Mitch. Brad.
Hello.
Matthew Bird.
Hey, how's it going?
And we have our guest for the evening, the returning 2015 Lilligan Man of the Year. The second man to get honored with a fathead in a game, no less.
That's right.
Mr. Sam Fink.
Hello. Feels good.
Feels good.
Thanks for having me, guys.
I've never had a fathead.
No, we all have fat heads. Yeah. Just not the plastered up on the poster board.
Maybe I'll make one for you next game.
I had a tuple.
You did have a tuple. Hall of Famer, Mitch Maurice.
That's right. I'll take my tuple. That was a funny thing. Aaron's like, I guess we're moving this? Yeah, we're taking the tuple with us.
Are you going to put it under glass in the new house?
That's a lot of glass. So,
ain't get a comforter out of it, Aaron.
That's our new comforter for our new bed. There you go. So, hell of a game Saturday night.
Yes, we took on the Timbers of Portland.
The Portland Saplings.
Please, please win. Meow, meow, meow.
Yeah.
We had the individual TIFOs for everybody to hold up. Even the Timbers, Timber 2 Twitter account liked it.
Yep. A couple of the Timbers fans actually took one because they wanted to take it home. So, well, souvenirs.
Done. Well done, Brad.
Thank you.
You're good at these TIFOs.
It was Mario's idea. So give Mario the credit.
Well, he's not here. And he's a lawyer. He'll sue us.
That's right.
But
never seen the show.
I've only seen that episode. That's really all I needed to see.
It encapsulates everything Portland.
Pretty much.
That one scene.
Except for an incredibly large defender who liked to throw elbows. It didn't include that.
He was a big boy. He was 47.
When he matched up, at one point, Sam and him were matched up, and Sam's a tall dude, and this guy towered over you. I was like, Oh, that's a big man.
Didn't keep him from getting a card, though.
No, it did not.
So
again, you throw bones, that's what's going to happen.
They had a good game, though. I mean, it was tight out there. It was pretty evenly matched. I think we got a little bit lucky on that penalty call.
I don't know if I'd say lucky, because there was a handful of missed calls.
I think we deserve the bounce we get, because I think we've had a lot of bounces go against us in the last 18 months.
Don't misunderstand. I'm not refusing the
goal. I totally understand. But, I mean, we all understand that USL refs are still third-tier refs, and you give as much as you get.
He wasn't a USL ref, though. He's
done MLS games.
MLS games, too, as well, which explains a lot of the MLS games the way they go. very lax whistle in the first half.
But also, I do want to mention, though, I talked about it last episode. We've got to figure out a way to win games when we're not necessarily, you know, scoring seven goals. That's a game that we gutted it out. You know, the back line did its job, as always, holding firm. Ryan had an amazing game.
Oh my God.
Couple of those saves were, you know, Sports Center worthy. And we found a way to score.
It was the polar opposite of the Tulsa game,
yeah.
To be honest. I mean, the Tulsa game was just a walk in the park. This was the polar opposite. It was nose to the grindstone. You got it out. It was a consummate team performance.
We needed to get three, and we got three.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that was the most important win of the season. That probably in Sacramento away were the two most important wins of the season.
Dale, after the game, he pulled us in and said, you know, the Tulsa games will make you feel good, but games like that against Portland are the games that'll get you into playoffs. And
exactly.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean when they're just going in for fun, I mean, you know, Sam could have taken a shot from his own box and it would have scored that game.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, those games, yeah, like you said, they're fun, but once it gets past a certain point, that's just a win. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It counts the same as this win.
Yep.
But gut check wise, the next time we're down, next time we're fighting out the game, you'll remember that, you know, hey, just stick with it. Something will happen.
Right.
And we joke about it that, you know, there's a lot of games where we say, well, who do we give the man of the match bucket to? Because so many people played well. And this was no different Saturday night, where it's like, well, everybody did exactly what they were supposed to and a little bit better than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a nice change where it was, you didn't see anybody make mistakes. You didn't see any bad play. It was everybody did what they were supposed to and then some.
I agree.
Wow. Good synopsis, Brad.
Talk about a few things outside of the game. We can get back to the game, but we launched our donations du jour program. Basically, it's when people have extra tickets, they bring them to the tailgate, and we usually just give them out to newbies or people that need a ticket, but we started taking donations for that. It's going to be a new feature every week. I think we're also going to throw sticker sales into that. We raised $412 for the Unsung Heroes Soccer Organization.
That's wild.
Yeah, Eric's a part of that group. They raise money for first responders who've lost their lives or been injured in the line of duty. So, yeah, the first week of it, we were able to raise $412. So we'll just keep doing that every game. And
very cool.
Try to pick local charities that, again, give back to our community. So.
Yeah, and that was a nice thing, too, is that, you know, there's so many times that we have those extra tickets where people just say, yeah, just give it away or, you know, something like that. Now it's actually going to something that it's not, yeah, quote-unquote, wasted money. It's actually getting a net return.
And, it, I mean, it looks good for us. It helps the community. Everybody wins. So,
is the next charity My Pocket?
No. Although we did buy a new headphone amp.
Well, we had to. The other one died.
But, no, we'll pick something local and... And we're going to start putting that like on the page a couple days before the game so people know. And even if you're not getting a ticket or something, feel free to swing by and throw a couple bucks in it if it's a charity you want to support.
And if you have ideas for charities, we're open. Like Brad said, let's try to make them local, you know, or locally affecting. I think that's kind of the important thing because as the shirt sleeve has, it's the city flag. Let's keep things local.
Also wanted to mention... the Tulsa game, we were talking about the Tulsa game, we had a special guest come down and bang on the drum. That led to a win. Well, this week, Tyler David came down. He banged on the drum a bit. He wasn't in the squad.
Was he honorary captain?
I guess so, yeah. But I saw him in the stands, and that was cool. And then next thing I knew, he was banging on the drum, and then we got the penalty and scored while he was down there, I do believe. So
I think that's what we need to do, then. I think that seems to be the rule.
So, yeah, we got to have somebody special come bang on that big drum at least once a week.
It's either the cart of free beer from the ownership or the banging on the drum.
Yeah.
One's a lot cheaper. One's a lot more fun.
If the owners want to come bang the drum, they can do that, too.
And bring beer.
Yeah, exactly.
Also do want to thank our friends over at Madrina's. They came up at the beginning of the game and bought the first round for the drummers. That was pretty awesome. Got I had a crate full of All Fleur One from our friends at ITAP at the Craft Beer Corner and started handing out beers. They were quite happy to get it started right. So thanks to Madrina's as usual.
Also want to mention this game was a sellout, and we know a lot of things went into that. A, the team's great. Everybody wants to come out and see the team.
No thanks to the social media guy.
They also ran a commercial during the Copa. I think that was huge. A lot of people saw that commercial. Portland Timbers 2, I mean, that does have a name, you know, that people are familiar with. But I think I want to give most of the credit to our friend Matt Burton. He wrote a scathing article complaining about people not showing up.
You know, here's the thing, Rob. I actually... thought about that article. I went to the under 23 game down in Cottleville, and there was no one there. I mean, you've been to Lions.
Yeah.
There's no one there. And I'm like, that was a really good game. And it was a local derby, and there was no one there. And I'm like, where is everybody? You know, and it got to me thinking, you know. Yeah. We're a soccer city. If you tell me you're a soccer city, you've got to be there. You've got to have your bum in the seat.
And the people that show up every week know.
Yeah, yeah.
And what a great game this is.
And it wasn't. And it wasn't a criticism of any one of our fans, or even, you know, if you go watch the Ambush. The Ambush is not my brand of vodka.
Right.
But if you go and watch that and support that, then I have no, I can't turn around and say anything bad about you. I mean, you're still doing your.
Or
part.
You come to one or two games a year. I get it. Yeah. It's the summer. You're busy, but there are people in the city who haven't been to a game yet, and
they're sitting at home thinking the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, and they have no idea. First of all, you're missing out.
Second of all, it's AstroTurf, so it's always going to be green.
This is true.
But no, I mean, that game again Saturday, Mitch and I talked about it a little bit today, that even though the game wasn't 7-0 or 7-1, it wasn't a high-scoring affair, it had everything. I mean, the fans who were there had fun, watched it, got to see some really good soccer played. I don't know. Well, that kind of thing will keep them coming back.
Jeremy was telling us before the game, before the podcast started, that they had some Feyenoord guys at the park beforehand, and they were amazed at the level of the competition, and they were amazed with the crowd and what it was. They said, this is no joke, you know? This is no joke. This is the real thing.
But when we're on a roll, when we're winning, that helps. Last year, we sold out a lot of games at the end when we weren't winning, and, well, it did turn around a little bit. But this year, it's a damn good team out there.
Well, I mean, last summer was the best summer of my life. I'll not say anything bad about last summer, but the team is immeasurably better, and this is your team. I mean, if you're a soccer fan in St. Louis and you don't know, there's no excuse for you not to know about this team, and you're staying away by choice rather than ignorance at this point, I think. And that's my opinion.
I would say mostly so, yes. I think there are still a few people out there that don't know, but I think it may just be, I don't want to call it coincidence, but, you know, the circles just haven't overlapped.
Yeah.
But I think the amount of people that should be there that do know about it is staggering. And when you have a 7-1 win followed up by a character win against a team that you need to beat to stay up in the standings, that should sell it right there. I mean, again, nothing against the radio guys, but I don't want to know how good they are because I want you to know how good the team is instead of the broadcast. I hate watching St. Louis people say, we've got a great broadcast. I don't know.
Never watched our broadcast. Never watched it.
Sadly, I have because I was traveling or out of town. But that's it. It should only be because you're traveling, you're out of town, you missed it for whatever.
Or you live in Minnesota.
Right.
You live in Minnesota. You're from Oakville or Sappington, but you live in Minnesota.
It shouldn't be because you live in Benton Park and it's too far to drive.
That said, let's talk about those clowns.
Sam's parents come over from Belleville every game, right? They live around
Edwardsville,
there.
Edwardsville.
So, I mean,
Parker Ma's mom drives from Joplin every home game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and we've got guys that come from Springfield, Illinois, Springfield, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Cape Girardeau.
You know, there's no reason that you're not coming. You know, when those people are making it, obviously Mama Fink has a little bit more interest in it than the normal person. But
I don't know. I think at this point she'd come anyway.
Yeah, I think so.
She's having fun out there.
Yeah. See the team. See you guys.
So what do you think of the Fathead? That's the first question.
Yeah, well, for those of you that don't know, the Fathead was made for Sam. So
she loved it. She went and took a picture with it, and her and my wife giving me a kiss on the cheek. So it was funny. I never expected to see a bigger head than I currently have. So it was funny to see that out in the stands. But she loved it.
Did it take you back a little bit when you woke up and you're like, oh shit?
Because you know you guys weren't there when we were warming up. You were just marching in, so I hadn't seen it. We went out, marched out, national anthem, whatever. I came over to clap to you guys, and I was like, whoa, there's me.
So now we have a Herrera, we have a Fink. We'll have to see who's going to be next. But right now, this is a pretty good start.
I hope they're
here
saving all those, because I'd like to see them all in a line at the end of the year, like have the whole team.
We might start running out of people at some point in time. They're doing one for Jeremy.
We give them to all the players as they come out and line up, and they're just there behind the massive.
It'll look like NBA jams. They're all on fire with the big head. I like this idea. Maybe we can get sponsored by Fathead.
That would be nice.
Get on that, Kevin.
At least Kinko's.
We talked about running out of players. We do have 15 games remaining, or 14. I might have did my math wrong.
If we get in the playoffs, we've got 15.
But we've got 9 at home. I mean,
yeah,
we're on. I mean, we started off the year. We had a lengthy road trip, which may have helped the team, I think, you know, get a little bonding in. But
yeah.
But now we're on a roll. We're doing well at home. We haven't lost since last year at home. And we got a nice run at home. I mean, people are going to be, you know, just going to soccer games every week and sometimes on Wednesday. Mm-hmm.
So talk to us, Sam, about that first road trip where there's 5 games on the road. I mean, did the schedule come out and you all go, oh, my God? Or was it like, okay, let's go spend 3 weeks at the beach kind of thing?
Yeah, when it came out, it wasn't too big of a shock. Once we got there and obviously didn't have the two greatest results in the beginning, it was kind of like, you know, crap, where are we now?
Yeah.
But because, you know, it was also we were going against top teams, you know, going
well,
to
well,
Real
you were
Monarchs
on the bench the first two games. Let's yeah. not, you know, so, I mean.
Well, and
no coincidence. It turned around.
Are you sat there going, it's not on me?
No. I think that's just a testament to the team this year. You know, we have a high level and it's competitive and there's guys in and out. You guys talked about Tyler David banging on the drum this weekend where he very well could have been starting.
Yeah,
you know.
He was not happy to be in street clothes. I mean, I told him it was good to see him and he was like, yeah, I wish I wasn't over here.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
But that's what you want. I mean,
absolutely. You know. We want to make it as hard on, you know, the decision makers for the lineup as we can. And that's what produces good teams.
And before the season started, we all, you know, as soon as they signed AJ Cochran, we're all like, okay, 3-2 doesn't go. Is mm-hmm. that going through your mind a little?
Yeah, when they signed him, you know, obviously it's kind of, it's different when they signed someone mm-hmm. in your position. But in my mind, it was just, I'm going to work as hard as I can. I think I knew AJ growing up. I always played against him. Uh-huh. So I knew that he would come in and challenge me and Musa. And at the end of the day, whether I'm on the field or not, he would make me a better player. And so I appreciated that, and I was glad. And if we're winning, I don't really care who's on the field.
I mean, we all talked about it, you know, on those early episodes of this season about how we didn't have any fear that, you know, you'd put your head down and you'd do the work. I think we were all, like, thankful when, you know, Dale kind of made that shift and put Musa up a little bit, and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, okay, now we love all three of them, yeah. and they can play at the same time.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure you're happy that worked out the way it has. But
absolutely.
I mean, but is it also nice you and AJ have a good pairing back there? There was a nice little article on the team side about how you guys played against each other and now with each other. Is it a relief to see Musa in front of you because you know what he does, and it gives you a little bit of protection up there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the amount of, you know, last ditch tackles that he makes coming back in front of us, we're dealing with runners in behind, and we can count on him and Chad to deal what's in front of us is huge. And to have a player of his pedigree move up and then, you know, make the team better, it's comforting, really.
I still say I put our back four up against anybody in the league.
Well, I think we've got that box. You know the penalty killing box in hockey, that the four of you and AJ and then Musa and Chad. I think that box, that square, is as good as anything in the league.
It's control, and it's what we were missing last year, where you guys would make the defensive play and the transition couldn't start.
Yeah.
That we were so often hemmed up in our own end that we couldn't get the ball out successfully just because we didn't have that kind of confidence in those top two.
Right.
Well, and Dixon and Marr back there too. I mean,
again,
all four of the defenders, like I said.
Well,
we
mentioned Parker before the podcast died. I mean, the kid has not put a foot wrong in 18 months.
Yeah.
I mean, he really hasn't. I mean, and he was playing out of position last season, really.
Yeah. And Patrick was playing great last season. I mean, it makes sense why they did it, but, you know, you mentioned it. We talked to Patrick on Twitter today. It was one of my
questions. Like to give him a quick shout out. I haven't forgot about you, Pat.
Yeah,
I still love you.
I asked if there were any questions for Sam, and Patrick said, "Do you remember who I am?" But love Patrick. Can't wait to get him back. But it's going to be hard for him to crack that lineup. We're talking about the places that are hard to make. Parker's really made that position his own.
Yeah.
So again, well, good competition.
And it's another thing is we have a good starting 11 and a good competition, but then also you have confidence in the subs that are coming off. So if Parker, you know, goes down, or if he cramps or whatever it is, and then Duty comes in, I have complete confidence because he's trusted. He's a good player. Whereas last year we had maybe, you know, 13 guys that we really, really trusted. And then if, you know, someone else might have come off the bench, it would have been a little bit tougher.
But we talked about it last week. When Barks wasn't on the starting sheet last year, everybody was kind of like, ooh, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. Now, you know, whatever lineup comes out,
now
I'm
he's
not
playing
panicking.
A right back just to get in the team.
Right, right.
I mean, seriously.
Well, and he did well back there. I mean, you know, I mean,
Barkley can go anywhere in the team and be the best player in the team, though. Still, I mean, that's the guy he is.
Well, that was the thing that we were kind of laughing about beforehand. Is that, you know, with between him and Parker, you've got two guys that are always going to be playing, you know, top minutes and top quality. That, you know, we joke about it, that, okay, who are we going to give the man of the match bucket to? Those two are always...
They're in the conversation.
They're on the short list, yeah.
It's like, okay, well, those two. Not that Sam guy. I mean, we're going to
keep me far away from that.
No, but true.
List,
Sam and AJ are always on that list, too.
Literally. The thing is with Sam, though, the goal he scored against Wilmington and then the goal he scored against Harrisburg, you have to now score.
Yeah,
so
you're going to have
to. I mean, it's not, a clean sheet isn't good enough, right, boys. Right. It's Sam. It's a clean sheet. Plus a header.
Right. That's fair.
Or a good tackle. Something, you know. we've got to raise it up here.
And we were going to have AJ on with you tonight because I wanted to have you both because you're just that central pair that, you know, just clicks for everything back there for us. I mean, AJ couldn't come because he's got a part-time job. I think he's actually coaching a kids team tonight.
Yeah, coaching kids, yeah.
So, but you two together have formed a really nice pairing back there. And as much as I liked you and Musa as a pair last year, we haven't missed a beat, and I think we've gotten even better. So
yeah, absolutely. It's comforting, too, to have a guy like AJ back there just knowing if something gets in behind me, he's always there. So.
Well, and that's a lot of it. I think you guys trust each other. I mean, last year we did some tinkering around, and we had a lot of injuries, so guys were coming in and out. So you don't necessarily know instinctually where that guy's going to be. You can see it. You know, one of you moves up, one of you moves back, or, you know, sliding into runs that people are making. It's nice to watch. Just, you know, I'm a guy that likes defense, so maybe I'm a little weird.
I think St. Louis likes defense. I think as a blue-collar town, I think we appreciate that rather than the flashy guy up front. No offense.
But when they're making a break, I'm watching, you know, where our trailers are going, and, you know, it's like, okay, Sam's coming here. AJ immediately drops into the, you know, lane that's opened up. I mean, it's really nice to watch. I mean, it's video game like. I mean, you know, that's exactly where I would have sent him.
You know? No, but I mean, I seen it on Saturday that Ambo dropped back so Barkley could go up, and you know, in the first half. So I agree. I think the defense, I think St. Louis has a love for the grafters in the team.
Yeah.
You know, everyone likes a goal scorer, but I think St. Louis loves their...
Oh, yeah, I don't want to sell Herrera just yet. Jeremy's over there. I don't know, Jeremy's looking at his phone right now. He may be having an offer.
I mean, in all reality, is he on a 1 or 2 year deal? Because if he's on a 1 year deal, we may not have him next year.
Yeah.
Because he is just, God, when the foul happened and he picked up that ball to take the penalty kick, it was like, okay, it's in.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even blink. It was like, all right, this is done.
Well, and I mean, he'd had a couple other ones, you know, earlier in the day where one hit the bar, one, you know, got saved. I mean, hit it right to the keeper. But he was so mad.
That one-on-one, man.
The one where Bushu hit him in stride.
I would have put my mortgage money on him scoring that goal.
Will never make a better save in his life. And nothing against that goalie. He may play in the World Cup. He's never going to make a better save than that one. Because you had one chance to stop him. You had to pick perfect, and he did.
Yeah.
It was the luckiest move I've seen in a long time.
Yeah. But, I mean, I will say, though, if that would have been coming the other way, Sam would have never let him get in that position. he would have cut that run off way early.
Yeah, of course.
To be fair, Moose may have, like, thrown him to the ground first.
Well, that's true.
That's the other part about it.
But speaking of which, Moose has picked up his, what, fifth, I believe.
Yeah, so.
So we'll be without his services in Swope.
He's got a week off, no?
Yeah, he does. But, you know, just like we were talking about earlier, we've got 3-4 guys in every spot that we can count on.
Oh,
so
we'll
be
okay. Yeah, I think Dale even mentioned that Jacob's probably going to start in that slot. Which, again, I mean, we talk about Parker. Jacob's another one of those guys that wherever you need him, he fills that role. And there's never like, oh, shit. You know,
no, I agree.
When they bring Jacob in, that's cool.
There was a couple of players last year that when you saw them come in the field, you went, ooh.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, this year there's none of that. There really isn't any of that. But I do have a question for Sam before we get on to listeners' questions. But the first 3 minutes in Colorado, Sam.
Yeah.
I forgot what happened.
Well, it's probably better.
But seriously, right? I mean, we play two away games. We play Colorado in the altitude. What was it like playing in that 6,000 feet?
We felt it a little bit for sure, you know, and you could tell. But you know, it was also the 7th or 8th game in 20-something days.
I mean, I'll let you use it as an excuse. Cause
No.
I climbed the bleachers and I was out of breath.
Yeah, no.
No, I mean, yeah, we were there for the weekend.
Right.
We saw you guys for breakfast, and then we went to Pike's Peak and. You know, we took the little train up there, and about halfway up the mountain, Mitch looked at me and goes, "You have problems breathing?" I thought Mitch was going to have a heart attack, and Bird gets up there. He's like, "I don't think I could have driven up here." You know,
I know my head was all disorientated. My legs were all wobbly.
So
I was
we definitely.
Yeah.
No, and it's a real thing.
I think it was more of just a lack of focus rather than the elements, honestly. And, you know, I take that responsibility and take that mess up, whatever you want to call it, and move forward. But
Mitch did mention it's the first time you've messed up in 2 years, so we'll let it slide.
But it's true. I mean, it's one of those things where it was like, oh my God, Sam messed up. We've never seen that. Like it would be like if hair started growing back on my head. It just doesn't happen.
But it's also one of those things that's like, you know, during the course of a game, there are tons of mistakes that happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Bird mentioned it's a little rougher when it's you or Pace in the back. I mean, because you're the last line.
Right.
But
I get tons of mistakes during a game. I thought you were about to stop mentioning the England game today.
No. But I mean, you have to find a way to get past those. I mean, and you don't normally a mistake like that happens and nothing happens. Mm-hmm. You get away with it. You know, somebody makes the run or whatever. But yeah, that's going to happen. To me, it was like, it's one goal. Let's do this. Of course, we didn't come back and do it that game.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of thing, again, things don't go your way all the time. you got to keep plugging away, make something happen. And I don't know. I didn't take much notice of that.
I wasn't going there with the mistakes. I just wanted to know about the altitude, because my next question was going to be kicking off at 103 degrees last week in Arizona. What was that like?
Well, you know, it's weird because you walk outside St. Louis, you instantly start sweating. Mm-hmm. Well, in Arizona, it's 20 degrees hotter, but you're not sweating. So I think Bushu, maybe someone else made the comment, it's kind of like walking and breathing in a sauna, like where it just kind of burns, you know, burns your lungs, burns your nose, everything like that. So that was another thing to get used to. But you use the day before to get acclimated, use warm-ups to get acclimated, and then no excuses once you get kicked off. But it was funny that you mentioned that, because one of the guys was saying that the Portland guy, one of the Portland players, was walking in the locker room after the game, and he looked at him and he's like, I don't know how you guys play in this crap, man. And so it just made me kind of it interested me, because every place has got some advantage, you know.
I guess. Yeah.
And Harrisburg's is the tree in the middle of the field.
The sinkhole.
I was going to say, wait for that guy to come back at the end of July, middle of August, when it's, you know, 98 degrees, 92% humidity.
Exactly. Well, but it is true. I mean, you know, I question why I live here all the time. I mean, you know, when it's 8 o'clock and you're getting ready to go to work and you step outside and, like you said, immediately sweat's running. You know, it's like, why am I here?
Dang it, man.
So, yeah, I'm sure the Colorado boys don't enjoy coming here in the middle of July. So
no, not one bit. Hell, I don't like coming here in July.
So. We just make it our advantage when we're at home.
Yeah, I'm good with that. And, well, and us. Because we were giving it to the one guy taking the corner kick.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You saw it, the look on his face as he was walking over to take the corner kick, where it's just like, all right, here it comes.
Yeah.
You literally saw his face just kind of accept what was going to be given him. Yeah. And you know, everybody's behind the barrier like they're supposed to be, and just unloading on
except for Costin.
Well, I guess. To be fair, he was probably taking a selfie.
Yeah.
It's the first time a Portland player's seen a proper supporters group, though.
No, but we should talk about that. I mean, you guys now you've gone through all the East teams. You've been to half the West teams. You see the different environments people play in. How would you rank St. Louis? And I'm not fishing for a compliment, but I mean, there are good places to play. Yeah. Louisville's got great fans. Sacramento has great fans.
Right.
I mean, how big of a difference does it make to you personally, the crowd being out there?
It's huge. It's huge, honestly. And we're definitely at the top of the East and the West as far as supporters groups go. Honestly, you go to play Arizona, I'll mention, just because we were just there. They, you know, they're, you know, yelling at you, telling you suck, whatever. But you look over there, and there's like 10 of them. And it's like... I mean, you guys kind of...
good for those guys that show up.
Right. It's good for them, but it's just like you guys have no idea what a real supporters group is, because I look over at you guys when we walk out on the field and you are wrapping around into the general admission or into the next section, whatever it is. And so it's cool. It's a big advantage for sure.
Do you think, though, that, you know, you've got some of these teams like the Portland too, you know, that don't play in front of... 5,000 fans every week, or Toronto 2, New York Red Bull 2, that they come here and it's like their cup final to a degree. They elevate their game as well, and we were almost maybe a disadvantage. I mean, last year your away record was as good as the home record. Right. Do you think that may be something?
I think you know, in the beginning for sure, it's both teams are full of energy because of to support him because of the crowd, and they want to shut you guys up just as much as you guys want to be loud. But I think once we turn it into an advantage, when we score a goal and then we score a second one, then you guys, that's when you guys get into their heads, and that's when it becomes an advantage, is when they sort of start to question themselves. But the longer we leave them in the game like we did last year, or if we go down, then it does become an advantage, because they get energy out of you guys losing your energy, you know.
No, I think so. And, I mean, last year we talked about it a lot. This year, you know, I think you guys all hit the ground running, and you were bound and determined not to let that, you know, creep up on you. Because you lose one, you lose two, you lose three. It does start to get in the back of your head a little bit. I mean, I don't care how professional you are. You know, we all have human frailties that, you know, it preys on that. So, I mean, I'm glad that you guys have, like, really taken advantage of that home field advantage now.
Right. this year that's exactly what it is. It's an advantage, whereas last year it wasn't at times, you know, because we didn't make it one, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to ask you, you went to Wake Forest. That's a long way from home, Sam.
Yeah, it is.
How did you end up at Wake Forest? And then also, how did you end up coming back here? What was the mechanism to get you back playing here?
So I, when I was, so Jeremy and Dale will tell you, when I was, you know, middle school, going into high school, I really struggled as a player. Didn't lack confidence, but I didn't have much talent either. So
that's almost the double whammy.
Right, right. So
I
they
think I'm great, but I'm not.
Right. Yeah. So they humbled me for sure, and it's fitting because humility is one of the pillars of Scott Gallagher. And so they
sorry.
It's an important piece
they
because
say that. But
Mitch has a Gallagher thing.
Well you met some kids like I was, but it's their job to, you know, knock them down a little bit. But that's what they did for me, and I made a decision that I was going to commit myself to my game and get better. And I was able to go to a Wake Forest camp. Just, you know, every college does it, the residential camps that you go for a week and play. And Coach Vidovich noticed me and said, you know, we'll be at your games in the future. Mm-hmm. Came out to a few showcases, and then that was it. Gave me an offer, and it was different. It was a different kind of offer, to be honest, because he goes to national camps on a regular basis and offers those kids, national team kids, spots on his team. So he was offering me a role on the team, not a starting spot, not to become the best player he's ever seen, you know. But then it was my job to take that and do what I could with it. And I think that's what I did, thankfully. And then once I left, just surveyed my options, and, you know, Jeremy called and said, we're starting St. Louis FC this year, and we'd love for you to be a part of it. And, you know, talk to my family and talk to my coaches, mentors, all that. And it was really a no-brainer to come back home to be with my family, play in front of my friends, but also, you know, build soccer in the city that I grew up in.
See, I thought you were just going to say, I really like the North Carolina climate. That's all you were going to say.
They had just won a national championship in 2007. Wake Forest had. So that was really why I wanted to go to the camp. Uh-huh. And then thankfully Coach Jay saw me and I got to go. But
speaking of, you know, coming back home, you know, we do have a lot of players that are from St. Louis, played, you know, their younger years in St. Louis, come back. I mean, is that a nice, you know, I don't know, like sort of a step one in the bonding? Like, you've already got that taken care of. Mm-hmm. So when a guy like AJ comes back, you already know AJ. You've played against him, with him over the years, and the other guys in the team that are from St. Louis. Does that help you immediately sort of get into a sync with them? Or?
Definitely. Because you grew up under the same system, and you sort of have the same end goal. You know, our goal is to build soccer in St. Louis, and it brings a smile to my face when I grew up in playing for St. Louis Scott Gallagher Metro, which is in Illinois. If you go to their facilities now, they've got a turf field, 3 Bermuda grass fields, and a locker room. I played in cornfields, in baseball fields, honestly. And so it's cool to see, you know, the kids who are in my place when I was younger having this awesome go about. And, you know, Kuzain and Aiden Stanley just signed the developmental contracts, and it's cool that they get that opportunity, because that's something that I didn't have when I was younger. So guys like AJ and Barks and, you know, Ambo, whoever else is from St. Louis, we know that we're building for the future, and the future is bright.
And those kids have a Sam to look up to now. That's the other part where, you know,
it's not distant. It's I can actually see how this would happen because Sam was playing on this field or with these, you know, people. Yeah.
Right.
And what about if a player like, say, Ryan Thompson comes in who's not from here, never been here before in his life, doesn't know.
First of all, half the Jamaican team plays for us.
Yeah, I understand. but still, even so, let's reverse it. Let's say, you know, Jeremy Lynch comes into the team last year. All you St. Louis guys go, right, come on, we're going to take Jeremy to East St. Louis today. We're going to play, you know, we're going to play a prank on him. I mean, do you have to integrate yourselves with the guys from out of town just as much, though?
You do, and you got to help them understand what it means to the city, what the badge means to you guys, and they do the first time that they get to experience you guys. We went to here, actually. Yeah. We
annual general meeting.
We went to the meeting, and you could see the look on the guy's face, like, holy crap, this is real stuff.
It was fun because I remember seeing Taka standing and Jameel Hardware standing next to Irvin. And Taka and Jameel just had these big smiles on their face, like they knew what to expect. Right. And Irvin was like, what the hell is this? You know, like, you just said we were going to go meet some fans, you know. Right. So
and
that is cool.
So when they see what it means, then it's like, you know, I'm not here to collect a paycheck. I'm here to build soccer. I'm here to win. And then we have a common goal. So
I wouldn't say a paycheck around Jeremy, by the way. I think he just heard that somebody's getting a pay cut.
That is definitely something I did want to ask. And now that Jeremy's here and you're here, we can mention it. So last year you played every single minute of USL. This year you started on the bench. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming there was a pay bonus for playing every minute. And Jeremy said, before this shit starts again, start him on the bench the first game. And then I won't have to worry about paying that bump. Is that really what happened?
Oh, that's a question for Jeremy. I don't know.
He's laughing way too hard in the corner. Yeah,
AJ Cochran's played every minute of every game in USL. If he's on the bench the first two games of next season, you'll know there's something in it.
No, I did want to mention, you mentioned AJ coming to the team. Did he call you or maybe some of the other St. Louis guys before he signed saying, what's it like in St. Louis? Or was it just a business deal?
I didn't have any contact with him because he was on the Missouri side. Yeah. So we weren't that close. But Vince Cicerelli is one that did reach out to me and just say, what is it like? I'm thinking about coming here. And it was easy.
Yeah.
Like, well, let me tell you, it's awesome.
Well, and I know Tyler had mentioned that he'd come to games last year just as a fan. Mm-hmm. I mean, went to SLU, so he was local.
Right.
And I mean, guys like that, I think, knew what to expect a little mm-hmm. bit. But yeah, I just didn't know if AJ had maybe reached out and said, look, I don't know anything about, because he's been in Houston for a few years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I as much as he loves St. Louis, I don't know how much tabs he keeps track on. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, your life is 100% St. Louis FC. You probably don't know everything that's going on outside of, because that's your job.
Right.
That's your
right.
focus. So I just didn't know if AJ maybe reached out. But we'll have to maybe talk to some of the Missouri guys, see if he talked to Ambo or Barks or anybody.
Yeah.
Is this becoming an Illinois-Missouri thing again? This
seems to happen. No. That's not what I meant at all.
I think it is. I think you're just trying to stir
up
shit.
Let's talk about Missouri-Kansas for a second. CSKC, that's our game next week.
Oh, sporting franchise?
Sporting franchise. America's soccer capital.
Yeah. There's a dog park next to the stadium. You know that? You can take your dog. It's an off-leash area.
No, but the great thing about Sporting Kansas City is we have a local match that people can actually go to. And I think 20 or 30 guys are going next week.
Yeah.
We didn't do a bus because it's the fourth weekend and people have different family stuff going on. But I still think a good crowd's going to be there. So, Matt, you're going.
I am. I can't stay away. I can't. If there's a game I can go to, I will go to it. I can't stay away. But I... You know, those Swope fans, guys, you know, keep your heads around about you.
No spitting.
Yeah,
we're going to make a no spitting sign for when they come back. But that's just one small group of their fans. I'm sure it'll be a great place to play. The park looks pretty, I mean, on TV.
The women's team plays there. I mean, FKC, FC, or whatever the call.
Well, and then when you're done, you can rollerblade around the park and take
no,
a dog
no,
and
I'm not taking shots.
I just want to know if there's a place to park an RV. I mean, it looks like a state park to me.
No, but I'm excited to watch this game, and then the next game you guys play will be at the big sporting park, and I know we're taking a bus to that one.
Awesome.
But yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see this game. We mentioned Moose is going to start or going to be on the bench. Jake,
he can come bang the drum like Tyler did.
Well, I don't know.
I'm not taking the war drum to Kansas City.
I don't know
City.
If Jeremy will pay for his trip to Kansas City since he can't play. So
there was a little
getting the RV. Jeremy said. So that's going to be a good game, practically local. I mean, it's 4 hours. It's only really 3 hours more than I drive to a normal St. Louis FC game. So, but that's going to be good. And then I did want to mention we've got the Sounders 2 game on July 6th. That's a Wednesday. It's on the ESPN 3. But we need the house packed again. We had a sellout against Portland.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it again for the Sounders. And my thing is going to be, why watch it on ESPN3 when you can be on ESPN3? Because you know there's going to be crowd shots. Costin's probably going to get a manicure for it.
He'll be taking selfies the entire time, let's be honest.
I hope he gets a new tank top.
I don't want to blow my own trumpet, but no one will be able to beat what I did on YouTube.
No,
in
no.
Tulsa, I'm sorry.
I don't know if you saw any of the highlights of halftime of your game in Tulsa.
I don't think so.
They're just scanning down the supporter section.
Now, bear in mind, we were winning
right.
handily. It was nice.
Yeah.
Irvin had that first header. They had a player sent off, and I'm like, easy street.
Yeah.
Easy street with that. And then I don't know what happened, guys, but you know, those two quick goals went in. And it's halftime, and we're losing 2-1. I'm like, what's so happened there?
They're panning down the crowd, and all these Tulsa people, you know, waving their arms, screaming, yay, yay, number yeah. one, number one. And it gets to Bird at the end, and he just flips the camera off. And it's like, that's perfect. And he's in the St. Louis FC jersey. It is.
And the thing was, it wasn't – he didn't do it with, like, a huge amount of malice.
No, it was just
– the laziest.
No, but it was just, get the camera out of my face, man. Get that camera out. We'll just give up the lead. I'm not in the best mood.
And as fun as that was, and then to come back and win and see Bird screaming and running around, I would just assume you guys just lead the whole way. You know, don't go down to
yeah, start. Yeah.
I mean, I know you want to challenge and everything, but just knock them out of the park again yeah. like Next you did when we'll they were here.
That's the going down early stuff. We're not really big fans of. We need to not do that.
Us
anymore.
Either, you know.
Yeah, it makes me a little nervous.
Really.
But the fact of the matter is, though, last year when we went down, there was no way back.
Right.
This year, Orange County Blues, we were one down, came back. Oklahoma City Energy, in that stupid wind, mm-hmm. you know, went one down.
That was a crazy
came
game,
back.
Yeah.
Whitecaps.
Whitecaps.
Yeah.
Rio yeah. Grande.
Yep.
Well, it's to the point
Tulsa,
now.
You know
I mean, last year, I mean, we'll just mention the Kings Cup real quick. Louisville won the first game 2-0. You know, they're a good team. There's no shame in losing 2-0 to that team. But I would have thought, well, shit, that's it yet. There's no way we can score 3 goals at home to beat them.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, oh, shit, Irvin could have a good night. You know, we could get 7.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still going to be a good team. That's going to be a tough game. But I have no lack of confidence in our ability to score goals.
I've never felt this year that we were ever out of a game. And that's a great feeling to have.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Well, even when we were in Colorado, I mean, granted, we had visited the wreck shop earlier, but we were all very happy. We thought, no, they can come back and score, you know, 4 or 5 here. There's 3 minutes left. We got time, you know.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that we have the guys that can string it together, that it's never, well, shit, you got to throw it long and chase it down. No, we can actually string it and move our way up.
It starts in the back. I have complete faith in you guys in the back that you're going to keep us in the game. And last year, you kept us in so many games, but we didn't have the offense to,
right.
And you know, I don't want you to bag on anybody on your team, but it's a different mindset out there this year. Mm-hmm. Everybody seems to have a faith and a belief that we're going to get it done.
Going back to last year somewhat, you did keep us in a lot of games. You know, you did keep it tight. But was there the ball had got the midfield or the forwards, and within 10 seconds they'd lose possession and you mm-hmm. were right back on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was the games like at Montreal where you just, it all fell apart because you know, you just was the times like that where it just you could only keep it the dam from bursting so long, and then all of a sudden it just all went to hell.
Yeah, there was for sure. And it the biggest thing is we were just tired.
Yeah, yeah, sure yeah, yeah.
Tired.
Yeah.
You know, you can't defend for 90 minutes mm-hmm. at the pro level and be successful.
Yeah.
And so
your mind needs a break for a few seconds so you can catch your breath, regroup.
Right.
But if you're always on your back heel, there's
and
no way.
If we were going for 80, 85 minutes. 0-0, we felt good about it, and then conceded. It was like, crap. Like, yeah. What?
And this year, one of the great things that I've been able to notice, and we'll use the Tulsa blowout just as an example because it was so brazen, but we see that the defense, that back line is able to move up and pen the ball in a whole mm-hmm. lot more than you were last year.
Right.
That there's, and granted, I think it's because of the quality of our back four more than anything. But, you know, on the Tulsa one, I felt sorry for those guys at times because it looked like they were 2-3 men down.
Mm-hmm. They would try to huff it out of their end, and you guys would grab it at midfield and punch
right,
it back
just
in.
Go right back
and, they were just like, Jesus, we're not even trying to play the ball. We just want to break. You know? Yeah.
And it's great to watch because you guys are so active in that, you know, again, not to bag on the midfielders last year, but we get that push forward where you guys are able to get your breather, get involved, get mm-hmm. in that push up. and not have to hold it all together.
Right. And you see Chad getting in good spots, and then Musa, if that spot doesn't work, then he can chase him down, and that's huge. And then AJ and I just kind of tuck in, and then we win it, and we go back. Whereas last year, we're just, like I said, defending for 90 minutes,
yeah.
And you don't get that rest. So if you clear it out, you're not even, you don't want to step. You just like, well, they're just going to come right back, so we'll sit right here.
Right.
But this year, we clear it out, we get our lines up, squeeze it, and then if we win the ball higher, we can go to goal and score some.
I did want to mention, while I'm thinking about it real quick, because this is the first time I've talked to you, Sam, in a while, the Colorado game, the kids in front of us at the the stand, you had your own cheering section there in Colorado. They had a Sam Fink sign, and they didn't know anybody else on the team. But they just kept yelling Sam.
Yeah.
I mean, are friends of yours, I guess?
Yeah, my mom's best friend lives out in Colorado.
Awesome.
Yeah, and so that was her little boy, Paul.
Yeah.
And they came out. It was a tough one after the game. Obviously, I wasn't very happy. So that's like the toughest part when you have family that are there and they're so excited to see you. But you had a bad game and you still got to put a smile on. But, yeah, it was fun. They made a poster and it was cool seeing that.
Yeah, that was when we got into the stadium. It was like, it's going to be us against the world. It's like, no, we got kids. We're all right. We can do this.
But I do want to ask a question about that trip, because it was the first real time that we stayed in the hotel that you guys were at for an away trip.
I swear we weren't stalking. I swear.
No, but when we walked in the night to check in, Tyler was in the little lobby area. He was like, what are you guys doing here? I think he was just taken aback.
Yeah. The Tulsa away game, I was going up the escalator of the hotel as all the players were coming down the escalator to get on the bus. And Dale stood at the top. He's like, "Bird," I'm like, we're playing. I'm like, I'm going to the game.
But, does my season ticket not include away games?
But anyway, but it was noticeable that the team, even at breakfast, the coaches all sat together. The defenders sat together. The midfielders sat together. The forwards sat together. You're even though it's 9 hours before the game starts, you're at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all happy. Yeah, we're going.
We said hi to you, but we tried not to interfere because you guys. I mean, you were laughing and having a good time, but you were focused and you were doing your thing.
I mean, how is that?
I didn't want to pull up a chair and say, "Hey guys,
you gonna finish that bacon?"
But Is that an away game? I mean, you're at work. Even at 9 o'clock in the morning on game day, I mean, are you starting to get it into the mode kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was just... I was just amazed, to be honest, that you were so focused even at 9 o'clock in the morning and you were just getting it all together kind of thing.
Well, and I mean, people have this conception of, well, you work 1 hour a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
Oh, I've heard it, yeah.
but, I mean, it's not just the hours of practice or the hours of working out in the gym. Like I said, you know, I was like, oh, don't interrupt them. They're, you know, you're sitting there with the other defenders talking about, okay, if this happens, this happens. You know, I mean, so people think, oh, yeah, he doesn't have to go into work until, you know, 7:30 at night on a Saturday.
Yeah.
No. As soon as your alarm goes off, I'm sure you're already in game mode.
Right. And what people don't understand is the preparation starts much way before the game. So even before 9 o'clock in the morning on game day, you know, after training, you got to go home and get the right rest because it takes everything. Portland took everything I had, everything AJ had, everything everyone had. And if you're not recovering in between sessions and during the week, then when it comes game time, you can't do it.
So what is the game day? So walk us through Saturday. What is your game day routine? What's the organization plan?
So away trips we're obviously together because we're away. But
is that better sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it's better to, you know, be together and
you don't
talk
have to, and you don't have to do any honeydews for the wife before you leave.
Signing the house.
She's good. She's good about letting me just relax on game day.
Who's the roommate on the road?
Usually, so it goes by number. So Dixon is my roommate most often.
Okay.
And I like that.
Okay.
Get a little Jamaican flavor. And
doesn't whatever. Snore too much enough.
Wait a minute. What number is Musa?
Musa is 14.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he's with Chad.
We've heard he's the biggest pain in the ass.
He talks a lot. Whether you're listening or not, he talks. But, you know.
Does he still go by Pirlo?
after that free kick. Oh. We heard he was referring to himself.
It depends on the day, what he did that day. Sometimes it's Pirlo, sometimes it's Griezmann, sometimes, I mean, it's all over the place. But
okay, so you've got a good roommate. You're good.
Yep.
So your home day, you wake up in the morning.
So I wake up, get a breakfast. My breakfast of choice really every day is just oatmeal and a smoothie. So you have that, and then I like to go just walk around. So I take my dog on a walk around the neighborhood.
Clear the head.
Yeah, clear the head, come back, take a nap. I sleep a lot. So I sleep a lot anyway, but extra
but
on game day.
That, I mean,
that's nothing to do with being a professional footballer, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, Bird does the same routine.
No, but
I work an hour a week, too.
But a few years ago when these Optostats started coming out, you know, before you just watched the game, and now you can look, it's like, oh, that guy ran 25 miles. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, you guys run a lot.
We do.
So, yeah, take your nap, please. Mm-hmm.
So I do that, and then I watch a little bit of soccer, whatever's on, because it's Saturday. So usually, you know, obviously if EPL's in season, that's on. Right now, Euro, Copa, whatever it is. And then we have to be in the locker room around like 5:45 or so for a 7:30 kickoff. So I leave my house like 4:45. And then roll in there. So nothing too serious. That pregame meal at 3:30. Forgot to mention that, but some guys are real.
Now, is that like, do you have like a nutritionist that says this is, you know, how many calories you need for the game that night? Or
My nutritionist is my wife. Well, so, okay. Yeah.
He's not getting Jack in the Box tacos right, like us. Right.
But yeah, do you have like a meal that you're, I'm going to need energy, this is what I eat? Or
It started in college, but I just like to do grilled chicken, like two chicken breasts, rice, and some type of vegetable, and that's good. And then I usually bring a smoothie with me to the park, and then drink that before we go. But real simple stuff. Some guys are real structured in what they do. They got to do this every time. But I'm more just whatever I'm feeling. Nap time, and then eat.
I'm hungry listening to what he's talking about. It's like, that's not enough. I'm too fat. This is why he's a professional athlete, and we're not.
I usually eat like 10 White Castles.
Okay. Yeah, what's a game day routine for you guys?
honey do list is usually
well, I
the
spend
top.
About, I spend about 8 hours looking at my watch going, yeah. Is it 5:30? Yeah. Is it 5:30?
There's a lot of that, but no, every Saturday morning, I get up, I have the same routine. I go get my beer for the day, get a bag of ice, get it back to the house, cool it down, usually have a few errands to run. Sometimes I'm like, putting together a TIFO. I got to post some pregame stuff on our social media. Then it's like, you know, fall asleep in the recliner for a little bit. Then I
that'll be the 90 minutes Arsenal are on.
No, and then this year it's been a nice change of pace. I wait till my son gets home from work because he's coming to every game with me now. So
okay.
It's like I'm texting him, hey, or when are you getting off? Because we got to get up there. We got to pick up Mitch. We got to get to the park. And
yeah.
Well, to be fair, we have to pregame the pregame.
We have to have a beer on Mitch's patio. Uh-huh. Then we get there. We get there a little bit earlier than the normal tailgate crew. We set up our little merch table. Usually have time to sit down, pop a beer, eat a little something from the tailgate crew, and then everybody starts to show up. So, you know, that's my pregame day.
I'm jealous.
So you mentioned that you sit around and watch whatever's on. Do you support a team? A specific team, or do you just look at players that play in your position and try and look at what they do? What's your angle?
I mostly, yeah, just watch players that play in my position.
Who's your role models, kind of thing?
My absolute favorite center back is Nemanja Vidic. Not because I'm a United fan or anything, because he's a psycho. I like that.
I like that in a center back. Never knowing, he might snap.
Yeah. Well, he likes taking
Serbians, dude. I'm telling you.
He likes blocking shots with his face, with his anywhere. I mean, that's yeah. I like that.
It's
like
funny because you're sitting there saying it, and it's like, wow, I can see Sam's style of playing him until you get to the psycho part.
And there's until nothing, you get to the ethnic cleansing.
There's, there's nothing less Sam than
crazy. Wow. Yeah.
Thanks, Bird. Bird, just completely just. Well, we're going to get death threats this
week. We're sorry, Vidic.
But yeah, it's like, oh yeah, that's Sam, that's Sam. Nope, not the psycho crazy part.
Before we do get to the viewer questions, I do have one thing to say, and I don't know if you've listened to a lot of the episodes. I know you're a busy man, but occasionally we bring up how you've ruined it for all single men.
Oh my God! I am so glad I'm not
the
single.
Proposal. Jesus Christ!
Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't even show my wife that because retroactively she would have been pissed.
Oh, I got it. Did you trust me? I got it because I was sitting there looking at it. I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. And she goes, "What are you watching?" I'm like, "I can't show you." My first thing, she goes, "Are you watching porn?" And I should have just said yes.
You should have.
I should have just said I am watching interracial child abuse porn. And
wow.
Just really gone to the point where she said no because she's like, no, let me see. And I show her and she's like,
cleansing is the worst thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, no, but I was watching that video, you know, and I was like sitting next to my wife on a couch with my iPad and I was like, I got a little tear in my eye. She's like, what's wrong? She's like, I want to marry Sam Fink. God damn, dude. You really hit that out of the park.
Thank you.
Really had to say yes at that point, right?
She did, yeah.
If she would have said no, that would have been, well, that might have been the best YouTube video ever. But
we definitely would have kept the video.
Yeah.
I don't
But that was amazing. Congrats to you.
Thank you. She's a special girl, so I tried to do it as best I could for her. I'm glad
and
she liked
you
it.
You ruined it for all other men. So,
well,
way
to
go.
The only good thing about this, though, is that when it comes to anniversaries now, he is totally screwed.
No,
because
no.
You have set the bar so high for yourself now.
I envision Sam, let's say, 40 years from now. Your playing career is over. You've accomplished everything. Got all the winner's medals, the trophies on the cabinet. Got a little bit of a beer belly. And she says, hey, it's our anniversary. He's, look, I did it all on the proposal. That should be a get out of jail free card forever.
No.
You think he has to keep topping that?
I mean, seriously.
See, we're guys and we agree with you.
Yeah.
But rationale goes out the window.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She's already like, "What have you done for me lately?"
See, here we are. We're like, "Hey, would you like to take a nice little trip to Colorado and we'll watch the soccer game?"
Yeah,
we can get away with that because our wives are so disappointed by us.
That's true.
That they were like, "Oh, this will be great. I can hang out."
We
with
set
the
low bar.
Yeah,
Sam set a very high bar.
Exactly. All we can do is improve.
Okay.
Sam can only go down from here.
I'll keep you guys posted.
Okay.
No, don't.
Don't, okay.
Don't, yeah. Because...
No more videos, Sam. Well, I'm on the verge of divorce anyway. If you do anything more great, that's over. And she was looking at Dixon the other day, my wife. So,
shit, I was looking at Thompson. I mean, that dude is cut.
I do think Mitch has a crush on Thompson.
I'm getting there, man. When I gave him when we were doing the Man of the Match bucket, and I just clapped him on the back, you know, hey, good job, and... His arm muscles bulged. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, this man has more muscles in his arm than I have in my entire body.
He's a big man.
And happy. He was like the Pied Piper of children out there.
Oh, I love that guy.
He had to get...
There were literally 100 kids around
him. He had to get a police escort to get off the field.
Yeah.
There were so many kids chasing him for autographs. I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Jackson would have been in heaven, and he's getting out of there.
Jesus.
Listen to ethnic cleansing.
And that's not the worst thing that's ever been said on this podcast
no, it's
tonight.
Not actually.
Anyway, so congratulations on your marriage.
Thank you.
Took a while. But
no, but she seems amazing. And your mom. Again, we got to give big props to Mama Fink. She's always on Twitter and, you know, just
she's
interacting.
Active.
Yeah.
She loves it.
And she's always in with us, too. It's not even like, you know. She's interacting with us. Like,
oh, she's one of the group.
Yeah, she's stuck in. There's no
question. I mean, she's sitting in the fancy seats, but I have a feeling she'd be over with us if Sam wasn't getting her good seats.
Well, she was talking smack to your aunt last year.
Was she?
Yeah. When you because they came down for scarves, and she's like, "See, I got the last model."
No, that was Bushu and Duty's.
Oh yeah,
moms.
That's right. No, I know what it was. It was when we announced the Man of the Year.
Oh yeah,
and Player of the Year. And she's like, "Well, I got to get a picture with it. I got to get it before he does."
Yeah. I like sent her a private message on Twitter. And I said, "Hey, make sure you're there. You know, Sam's going to win the award." And she's like, "Oh, great. Can I tell him?" "No, you can't tell him." So, yeah, your mom's great. I don't know. That's all I had about that.
Oh, okay.
Should we do some...
Didn't want to get inappropriate? Is that what that was?
No.
You just like abruptly cut that off.
No.
Okay.
We don't have very many questions, but we got a couple. Kevin Cheek wanted to know, what do you do... What is that? I don't even know what I wrote. What do you do...
Jesus.
All right. I've got a question for you, Sam.
I can't read it.
Best game you played. What was the best game
where you came off the field most satisfied in the last 18 months?
Oh, I know what it is.
I would say the one that really sticks out to me is Wilmington, probably.
Uh-huh. The 0-0 draw at their place?
What's that?
No.
Just because the goal and the shutout, it was cool. The other one,
it was the first on
Winto. Do you know that on Wikipedia you're still listed as the owner of Wilmington?
I've been waiting for my paycheck, but I don't. Nothing's coming.
Oh, I don't.
There's not a lot of dividends.
It'll be on bill. Okay, I figured out what I said. What I wrote down. Kevin wanted to know, what do you do in the off season? I mean, I assume you're working with kids on soccer and stuff, or I mean, or do you just like, soccer's over, I'm taking some time off?
I usually take a week and a half to 2 weeks just completely off, get your mind away from it. But this fall I'm coaching for Gallagher, so I'll have two youth teams, two boys teams, so that'll be fun. And then the rest of it is just training, really. Last off season, which I would like to do again this off season, I went to Wake for about a week and just trained with the guys, watched them play a few games. So that was fun. Their facilities are awesome. The weather's awesome. So it's nice to get away for a while.
Well, I imagine it's great for them too, to like, you know, you're an alumni and you're making a living in the game, and you know, you got to be an inspiration to those guys who are working, you know, at their craft now.
Yeah, for sure. And I remember when I was there, just guys that came back that were pros, you ask them all kinds of questions, you know, how do I get there? What do I do? All that kind of stuff. So it's nice to continue to mentor them. So when I was a senior, I was the only senior on the team, and so I had a lot of freshmen. And so now to see them growing up, last year they were number one in the tournament. So that was cool to see a team that I feel like I mentored grow up and do cool things. My best friend plays in New York for the Red Bulls. I tweet a lot about him, so I'm sure.
Yeah,
you've seen
I saw when he got drafted.
Yeah. So go visit him as well. He lives in an apartment in New York, so that'd be fun too. But
now you talk about your week and a half, 2 weeks off. Do you let loose and eat like five Chipotles a day and stuff like that?
Sam doesn't drink. We know that from his man of the match.
Do you have a week and a half where you let yourself go a bit, or do you keep your same regimen going? You seem pretty disciplined, you know. So like, but when we had Barks on, Barks said, "Look, for a week and a half, I'm eating cake and then I get back into it."
I give myself a little bit of a break, but I don't like to get too far away from it, because if you get too far away, then it's really hard to come back.
And then you end up hosting a podcast.
Well, no, it's funny though, because I mean, you know, when we grew up, we're all much older than you, Sam. And like, I remember NFL guys, it'd be like, oh no, you know, when it's the off season, I'm smoking and drinking, and you know what I mean? Like, they let themselves go, and they'd show up to camp 40 pounds overweight, and it's like, okay, I got to lose 40 pounds in 3 weeks now. You know, you guys, you're pretty much, your job as professional athlete is to stay in shape the whole year through.
Definitely.
So you can't really let yourself go.
Right.
Or you'll never catch up.
Right. And you never know when an opportunity is going to arise. So few guys got to go train with the Fire for preseason, so you don't want to be you know, overweight or unfit when that opportunity rises.
And there's always a young kid trying to take your job.
Exactly.
And there's not much of an off season anymore either, because I mean, you know, we're gonna make the playoffs this year,
right?
So you're gonna extend a couple games, a couple weeks there, maybe a month.
Yeah,
let's try for a month. You know, but then all of a sudden, okay, it's February, and you got to start getting ready for camp.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot of off season anymore, which is good for us because it means more soccer to go watch.
Oh, it was the longest off season. Because obviously we're not doing the whole preseason thing or going to Charleston or anything. It's just, you know, then the five games away from home.
Yep.
You're like,
oof.
So
it's a long off season for us.
Yeah, it's long for us too. I mean, I felt it probably halfway through the season how long the professional season is, because college is
coming
so short.
College, yeah.
And so I didn't really have a break going to combines and whatever, and then going straight to the professional season. So I felt it, and then so when we were done last year, I was happy to get a break to let my body rest.
And you had every minute of the season.
Yeah.
So it's not even like you got a week off here
or
there.
Right. But then probably, you know, a month into it, I'm like, crap, I'm ready to play again. I'm watching our games on YouTube, like getting back into it. And so
we were doing the same thing, but we were drinking instead of exercising. Yeah, that's the difference.
Next question. Matthew Brumgard wanted to know, we'd already talked about your pregame rituals. Do you have anything you do post-game? What do you do after the game? We always talk about, guys, what do you do leading up to the game? But mm-hmm. when the game's over, after you sign autographs for an hour, because I know you guys are out there forever, and, you know, kudos to you guys, because I think that makes a world of a difference to especially the kids that are out there.
Right.
But you get back to the locker room, shower, change, whatever. What do you do after a game? Do you – like, I go home after a game, and I can't sleep. So I can only imagine what you – well, maybe you're so tired you pass out, but – I like watch TV, you know, when I get home, or you know, hit Jack in the Box tacos. Again, I'm sure you don't do that. But what do you do after a game?
Yeah, you have to get food, obviously, and you got to get it quick to sort of recover. And since I live so far away, usually my wife and I will go somewhere to eat. Last week we went to Cheesecake Factory.
I was gonna say, don't tell anybody where, or they'll start crying.
Yeah. So we had and then after that, I just usually go home and just decompress a little bit. Sometimes I watch the game, sometimes I don't. But I don't sleep well after games either. I don't know if it's adrenaline or whatever. So usually it takes me a while.
Do you have cramps like during the night?
Sometimes I'll like move a little bit and but no, it's not too bad.
So do we.
45.
I'm probably one of the more boring guys. So next guy that comes on,
you should ask them. Do some guys go out after a game?
Yeah, like, really. And that's you know, just that's part of it. Yeah. Having fun, especially after big 3 points.
I just can't imagine after, you know, like you said, after that Portland game.
Yeah.
You've given literally everything you have. Like, yes, I would like to celebrate, but I would also like a nap.
Right. You know? Right. No.
Can we go out tomorrow afternoon, guys?
Before Wapner.
That's part of it too. The camaraderie of the team is going out and spending time together and stuff.
And I imagine it's different when you're on the road too. You're all together. You probably do stuff together. Yeah. The wife's with you. You got to go to Cheesecake Factory.
No.
And again.
And now Ryan's with the new baby. He's got to get home and play with that baby.
He's going to Cheesecake Factory. When I hear Cheesecake Factory, I'm like, okay, I'm going to get Reese's peanut butter cup cheesecake. I need orange chicken.
A cheesecake.
You know, he's getting grilled chicken and asparagus. Right. You know, I'm sitting here like, what's the worst things I can eat?
Last question from the viewers is. Oh, shit.
Viewers?
Listeners. I'm not even going to ask this one because it was silly. It wasn't for Sam even. It was for Jeremy, and you know we're not going to make Jeremy come get over on the mic for something
no,
silly.
He'd want another cap.
Yeah.
That's the only reason that he and PK are here. They're ready to sub in.
Yeah, they're waiting to sub in.
They're waiting to sub in to see who's going to get it on.
Hoping Sam pulls a larynx.
Up an iPad.
You know who we do need to get back on is Petch.
Oh, I
feel bad. Petch hasn't been on in a while. And
we need to get Petch back on.
You know, the beer garden's opening up for the next home game. Maybe we'll have him on after that to talk about the beer garden, because I know he was instrumental in getting that all done.
And making sure the beer flowed properly.
Well, somebody's got to be there to test that out.
It's a rough job.
Yeah.
He's the man for the job.
I don't know. You guys got any more
for
Sam? All right,
going forward, Swope, Seattle, onward. What are the expectations of this team? I presume it's just getting the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, right now we're in a playoff spot. So,
and we have been all year. I mean,
right. Keep pushing onward, and we'd like Jeremy and I were talking about before. We'd like to get a home game in the playoffs.
Unless it looks like we're playing at Sacramento, because you know I could convince my wife to go. To Sacramento.
A little vacation, yeah.
But no, I think starting the playoffs at home would be a nice little ease into it a bit.
Right.
You know,
soccer at home is a good thing.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And as much as I would have liked to have played Sporting Kansas City, I'll take the playoffs over that any day.
Oh, yeah.
Me too.
Absolutely.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously we always want to do well in a tournament like the Open Cup. But I mean, I think all of us were like a little bit relieved. It's like, okay, one less Wednesday night game.
Yeah.
So you guys can have
a
full week.
I mean, it's a cliche,
concentrate
on the league, but I mean, when Louisville are playing Rochester, and when the playoffs are going on in the East last year, and we sat at home, it was like, oh, you know, it was a bit of a Debbie Downer.
But I would love to have a little run at the end of the year. I really would.
Well, and right now, I mean, we've talked about it. St. Louis FC is a team that I wouldn't want to play. I mean, we're not always hitting on all cylinders, mm-hmm. but we're always tough. And then we do have the ability to explode offensively. So, I mean, I like where we're at right now. I mean, obviously, we want to climb higher in the table, you know, yeah. finish as well as we can. But I'm optimistic about this team in the playoffs.
No, but nobody wants to come to Fenton.
No.
Nobody wants to come to Fenton.
Even people that live downtown St. Louis don't want to come to Fenton.
but you absolutely know what I mean. I mean,
no, yeah,
they are no. Portland Timbers left our stadium on Saturday. Even Vancouver, even Rio Grande, when we didn't get all 3 points, they left knowing they'd been in a game of football.
I think Vancouver may be like quietly my favorite game of the year because we showed the best team in the league that we had everything yeah. they had and we could take it all. I mean. And we could have won that game very easily. Uh-huh. So, I mean.
I think, too, something we've been concentrating on lately is not beating ourselves. So, most notably, you brought it up, Colorado. I don't give up that goal, then we're in a much better spot. And so, if we're not giving teams goals like that, yeah. it's hard to break us down. And it's hard to score on us. So, you know.
And it's something I noticed, and I'm not, you know, maybe I should pull Dale aside and tell him what I think.
4-4-2.
That Tulsa game, though, you came out just there was no doubt in your minds. Mm-hmm. You knew you were better than that team, mm-hmm. and that's the team that you know. It's like you should have that outlook every game,
right?
You are that good a team this right. year, and I think the confidence is building. I think you know, but every once in a while, you guys just turn it on. And you're like, don't hesitate, just
right.
blow, and it works.
I mean, you mentioned it there with the whole negative transition thing, but. You know, Seth gave the ball away in Arizona, and you mistake in Colorado. To bang on about negative transition and then have a 1-0 clean sheet, I mean, it shows that you at least know what the issues are right. and you've been working on them all week.
There's definitely no momentum to a bad game. Mm-hmm. Last year, like I said, you know, we kind of had that cloud over our heads at mm-hmm. home. This every game I go in, I know we can win it. And even when we have a bad game, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
So, I mean, if I have that much faith in this team, I know you have to have it.
Yep.
You're the most negative person I know. That's part of it.
not nearly.
I know.
But, you know, you guys, I can just see it in you this year. You have that belief in each other. You have that, you know, mm-hmm. whatever that is, that swagger, that little bit of gleam in the eye. It's noticeable to the fans. Yeah. So.
I think if you look around the league too, we player for player, we've got more talent or just as much talent as anybody. And so it's just putting that together and keeping it switched on. And when we do that, like you said, we have that swagger, that determination that no one can take it to us.
And depth. That's the other thing too. We have such depth this year.
Right.
I think so. Yeah, it's weird. We really didn't make a lot of changes during the off season. I mean, there wasn't wholesale changes. It wasn't uh-huh. even half the team. But the moves we made, and this is nothing against the guys who aren't back with us, because I liked a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
But we improved. Every move was an improvement. You know, usually teams make us you know acquisition in the off season, and it just didn't work out. Even right. if it looked good on paper, everything right. seems to have worked this year. Jeremy, don't listen to me because I'm not giving you credit.
But Brad's right, Sam. I mean, you mentioned it yourself that the whole PDL and college season is 2 months long. You, Parker, Jacob, you've played a full season now. You know what it's about. I think uh-huh. even the guys that have come back have improved. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not a rookie anymore. You know what it takes to play 8 months in this league.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, you particular, you know, when you came in last year, we've said it on the pod. I'm not, you know, telling tales out of school, but we didn't know what to expect from you. And we were like, well, you know, he's a rookie. You know, he's playing good. And it was like, it wasn't until about midway through the season we were like, you know what? He's just good.
Yeah.
You know, well, now, you know, you have a little bit more of a veteran presence on the team. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like you're one of the definite leaders, where last year you were a young guy.
Right.
You know, and not much has changed in a year, but your confidence has gone up, I think.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
No, Brad, you're right. Because last year I thought Bibbs would be in the middle. Mm-hmm. I thought Oscar would be in the middle. I thought you'd be. I would. I
we
thought
all,
you'd
we
be,
all thought Oscar.
You know,
was
we thought you'd be
yeah.
on the outside yeah. looking in. I honestly thought that, and that's.
It just kept building and building yeah. and building, and like I said, at a certain point, you're like, no, Sam's just the starter. You know, he's good.
Man crush over.
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me know.
I saw the proposal, man.
I know.
I'm just emotional when we talk about Sam. But
should we have him recreate it here for you?
No,
we can
no,
pick
no,
up
no,
some
no.
beer labels
no, no,
or something.
No. Beer labels.
Oh, these are all the beers I've seen Brad drink over the years.
No, but I don't know. Do we have anything else for Sam?
I think we're good. The important thing is to pack the park on Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, the ESPN 3 game. Let's do it.
We have to have a full park. We have to show everybody that this is what we do and how we do
you
it.
Don't, yep. You don't want anyone looking at that park and going, well, at least it's a Wednesday, so I'll let them off.
Yeah.
It should be like, holy shit, they got that on a Wednesday?
Yeah. That's what you
I want that answer.
Wednesdays are always a tough draw, but let's do it.
And the thing is, it's after 4th of July, so you've had all that craziness. You've blown stuff up. You've overeaten. You're going to need to get out of, you had to go back to work. It's going to be a short week, and you're going to have to get out there. There's going to be fireworks after the game on Wednesday night. So just in case you didn't get your fill of fireworks on the weekend of 4th of July, more fireworks.
More fireworks. Well, and that, again, fireworks does nothing for me. But
unless we're shooting them off ourselves.
But that's the great thing about St. Louis FC. Whatever kind of fan you are, it's for you. So bring the kids to this game. Maybe you normally come stand in the corner. You don't want to bring your kids to the corner. Just bring the kids and sit somewhere else for this game. Have the fireworks afterwards.
It's a month into the summer break. The kids are starting to get stir crazy. Get them out of the house.
And like my kid, last year I brought him to a half a dozen games. And this year he's like, no, just get me a season ticket. I want to come every game.
And now we stack awesome. Beer cans on his head.
And now we stack beer cans on his head.
The Cheerio test has nothing on us.
Yeah. But it's for everybody, so
it is.
But that happens. You see games and it pans the crowd and you're kind of disappointed,
Yeah.
So let's not have that. I think everyone around the leagues kind of knows what we're about, and
the corner is going to be full, and that's great. We always love that, but I love it. Last Saturday when it was the middle of the game and I just looked around and every seat was full.
Right.
It makes a better atmosphere for everybody.
Yeah.
So.
And for me, so we usually start down by you guys. Yeah. So obviously that's awesome. I love interacting with you guys and stuff, but I'm only there for half the game.
Yeah.
So I got to go to the other side. And last game, like you said, it was full. And so you kind of get that experience for 90 minutes.
Well, and when it's full, it's easier for the atmosphere to move around the stadium. There's not a big empty section.
Right.
So you do get the people on the other side into the game a little more. And it builds and it's good for everybody. So.
Yeah.
I'm all in favor of selling out every game.
I am too.
PK, do your job.
He got a thumbs up.
All right.
That's all you can ask for.
We got anything else?
I think we're good. Fill that park Wednesday night.
Matt, you're going to go to Swope Park?
Yeah. I made it an hour and a half and no mention of Iceland, so
no,
we're good
no
to go.
No mention of Iceland. take some pictures at Swope Park for us. I can't be there, but we'll be at Mitch's house, and we'll actually be watching it on the iPads like we were last year.
Yep, blown up stuff, eating brisket.
We won on 4th of July last year.
That's
yes,
right.
We did.
Yeah, we won Charlotte Independence. I remember
that's
it.
That's right.
We ruined their Independence Day.
I think they ruined it themselves with no beer sales.
That's right. So, Sam, good luck.
Thank you,
there's
guys.
Anything we can do for you, just let us know.
I appreciate it.
tell your mom hi for us, and I don't know.
We're good.
We'll talk to you soon.
Awesome.
See you.
Thanks,
cheers,
guys.
Sam.